Coming up on Podcast 1260, VW selling a quarter of a million EVs in just the first 9 months of 2021. Also on the podcast today, we've got an update for Audis to get a bit more range, Stellantis' 8 million EV plan a year, and XPeng introducing the P7 into Europe. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world, and welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 29th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story coming out of the news today, and here's exactly what you need to know to save you time. Yesterday, VW had their results on the first 9 months of the year, the Q3 results as well. And despite the ongoing shortage of the chips in the industry, Volkswagen did sell about 3.8 million vehicles worldwide in the first 9 months of the year. But we want to know about the electric stuff, right? Well, their electric offensive continues to gain momentum in the first 9 months of the year. A new record for global deliveries of EVs. And you'd hope it would be a record because the ID cars have been out about a year now. So year on year, it should be going up. 168,000 pure electrics and about 87,000 plug-in hybrids, making about that quarter of a million number for the first 9 months of the year. Volkswagen, the market leader for electric vehicles here in Europe in the first 9 months of the year. They say they're meeting their targets in the USA, but there's no disguising that the US market is Tesla's market to have and to own right now. Well, in China, Volkswagen say that they're on track with sales of the ID family increasing. About 6,000 ID models were delivered to customers in the second quarter, which was a very slow start. But the figure rose to 23,000 in the third quarter. But this is China, the world's biggest car market, world's biggest EV market. Sometimes recently it's been Europe. But still, to say what we said, 23,000 vehicles in the third quarter, still lots of work for VW to do and growing there. ID4 is on sale, the 7-seater ID6 as well. Also pretty popular in China. And as part of their strategy, Volkswagen bringing one additional all-electric car to the market every single year in China. And we got the ID5 and the ID5 GTX being unveiled in a few days as well. So another new car to be talking about with Volkswagen, which is exciting. So always happy to bring you some good news about, big car companies making that pivot to electric and seeing how they're doing. Volkswagen's chief executive, Herbert Diess, saying yesterday he was confident that Europe's biggest car maker could keep up with Tesla. Named them, obviously, had Elon Musk on the video call to the managers. I told you about that story a little while ago, but adding it would require cost cuts, reducing headcount at their Wolfsburg site if they want to match what Tesla are doing at Giga Berlin. Volkswagen wants to take over from Tesla as the world's number one EV maker. They still say middle of the decade they're on target to do that. Their operating margin is between 6 and 7.5% at the moment, but Herbert Diess saying that Tesla was setting a new benchmark in terms of productivity, speed and lean management. And so again, lighting a fire underneath the team there at VW to say that they have to change. On a different note, by the way, Herbert Diess revealing the car he's driving. What do you think? Well, not a VW. He's currently driving the XPeng P7, which is now on sale in Norway. So great news there that he's got the confidence and to say, hey, I'm not even driving one of the company's cars at the minute. I'm driving a competitor car. That is a really smart move. Also, he gave Ionity a pat on the back, seal of approval, if you like, after really criticizing the charging process on third-party networks, particularly Ionity recently. He took a holiday and in an ID3 and made a little LinkedIn post after that to say that he charged on his way, on his journey in Austria. He said a great charging experience, had a short coffee break, had a view of the lake and the all of the chargers were columns, he calls them, well, the columns were operational. Stopped for 20 minutes, got back on the road, had a great experience at Ionity. I'm sure that bosses there will be happy to hear that one of their big shareholders had a good experience. Staying with VW, in the US, the VW ID4 all-wheel drive. Now, I would call it the ID4 GTX. The US market calls it the ID4 all-wheel drive. Same car, different name. The range ratings are now confirmed by the EPA. We mentioned this a few weeks ago, but they got listed on the EPA website today. And so the range is between 240 and 249 miles for the Pro S. On a single charge, that is all-wheel drive, 19-inch tyres, 82 kilowatt-hour battery, 249 miles, which is 401 kilometres, 0-65.7 seconds on the ID4 all-wheel drive. And I keep seeing people have bought the ID4, maybe making the odd YouTube video about it, raving about that car. Not a car that we've had in the driveway. We've had the ID3 in the driveway, had that for a month, by the way, but we haven't had the ID4 either as a short or a long-term car here at EV News Daily, but it's something that we definitely want to add to the driveway within the next year or so, because it's a really, really important global car, and I feel like I should live with that as a family car at least for a month, if not longer. Staying with the Volkswagen Group, Audi had some great news for existing customers of the Audi e-tron. The software update for the Audi e-tron 55, so the bigger battery model, more powerful model, of course, from 2019 and 2020, now gets more range. They've added 20 kilometres of range to the car, and that's why we love electric vehicles. How many times does a combustion car get better? You know, materially better 2 years after it's been out? Oh, the answer is never. With EVs, they've managed to work out 20 more kilometres in real-world driving conditions, but it does involve adding some software updates to some of the bits of the cars that are locked down, so they can't do it over the air. Now, some EVs pretty much have all the modules, or a lot of the car's brains in the ECU, if you like, and so like Tesla can pretty much push out anything to their vehicles with a very centralized system. Many of the big car makers over the years were moving away from a kind of centralized one box ECU. It's kind of, you know, getting a bit decentralized, but of course the downside of that is you move into the EV era, move into a software era, and all of a sudden, well, actually you want everything controlled by one box. What it does mean, unfortunately, is that Audi e-tron owners have to go back to their dealers to have the work done, because what they need to do is upgrade some of the bits that aren't connected to the over-the-air, you know, software update system. They're making some software improvements for about 34,000 e-trons that were made from 2018, about the sort of mid-September 2018, so we call it the 2019 model year, and the end of 2019 in November. In terms of hardware, after that, the new e-trons that you can buy right now, well, after sort of the end of 2019, they actually upgraded the wheel brake, which the residual braking torque was lowered, according to electrive.com. Losses that were caused by the proximity of the brake calipers onto the brake disc, the rotors. That change, of course, not available in the older vehicles. It's actually a physical hardware change. I guess you could pay to have it done, I guess, if you really felt like you needed that extra couple of miles. But the software update that is rolling out, for example, gives the battery a little bit more room. Usable energy. Of course, it's a gross 95 kilowatt hour battery, but what was usable, huge buffer on the e-tron, was 83.6. Now you get 86.5. So quite a big chunk more usable energy, but without affecting that great charge curve that the e-tron has. And of course, when an e-tron says it's full on the dashboard, of course, it's not really full, because there's such a huge amount of the energy storage. Well, it's cell voltage, isn't it, what we're talking about, which is not available for range. Audi offers the software update free of charge, but can't do it over the air, so it's a trip back to the dealer, but that's okay. Now, Stellantis, of course, the company formed, which is now a mega EV maker, have four new EV platforms which will underpin the production of their EVs in the future. Those four platforms are each being designed and spec'd to have about 2 million EVs built on them every single year. And of course, with four platforms, that's then a capacity of 8 million EVs every single year. Stellantis are investing over 30 billion euros on electrifying their vehicle lineup as part of the plan, announced their four new platforms. Each platform can support 2 million units every single year. According to YahooFinance.com, Stellantis is targeting 70% of its sales to come from low-emission vehicles by the end of the decade, and it aims to make the total cost of owning an EV equal to that of a fossil-powered vehicle by 2026. And I mentioned XPeng already. Well, the Chinese company XPeng has now introduced a large electric sedan to the Norwegian market. It's the P7 that I mentioned that Herbert Diess is driving right now. They've already got the all-electric SUV, the G3, in the market, and has been since last year, 2020. But now the P7 has launched. It's a rear-wheel drive long range, or a four-wheel drive high-performance version, equivalent of about €46,000 or €52,000. And there is a special limited edition version, if you want it, that is about €59,000, maybe €60,000, and it has gullwing doors. Look at the picture I'll put in the show notes. It looks damn cool. The battery, not the biggest, 70.8 kilowatt hours usable, and with rear-wheel drive in Norway, WLTP range, 530 kilometres with the current spec. Now, in Norway, XPeng have got 17 different sales outlets and 21 service points. Fantastic. A bit of news to bring you from Chinese companies expanding into new markets. Right, coming up on the podcast soon, Ford had their earnings as well and talked a lot about electric vehicles. We'll get on to that. And which startup EV maker is buying a lot of machinery to make their own battery cells in the future? I'll tell you soon. Keep listening. Now let's talk about the German car of the year. It is the Hyundai Ioniq 5 winning the new energy category. Hyundai's new Ioniq 5, a great car. I would love one on a long-term test. Driven one, loved it. My wife loved it as well. I was surprised. I thought the styling might be a little bit divisive maybe, but she loved the styling, loved the size of it as well. I thought she thinks it is an optical illusion because she looks at the car and thinks it's not as big as it is. And then when you get up close, that 3-meter wheelbase, but still, she drove it and she's like, yeah, this is not, she's not a big fan of huge, you know, SUVs, you know, whatever. And she enjoyed the size of that vehicle, actually. So we're both huge fans of the Ioniq 5. We want to drive the EV6 as well as soon as possible to kind of just compare and contrast as well. But in Germany, Ioniq 5 has won the German Car of the Year New Energy category as a class winner. It now goes through to the finals. I reckon it's got a good chance of winning, because if you really value those things that make it a great EV, like the crazy fast charging, that 800 volt architecture, some of the tech that it's got in it as well, and just some of the really nice touches like the rear seats that recline, the center console that moves forwards and backwards, just the flat floor so you can play footsie with the person next to you, all of those little things make it a really great accomplished car. But it's going to be up against cars like the BMW iX, the Mercedes-Benz EQS. Hey, some German cars in the German Car of the Year. We'll see who wins. We'll talk about Ford next, and Ford reporting their third quarter revenue. So how does Ford do in a quarter? Well, in a three-month period, they'll do about $36 billion in revenue, but that is still down 5% year over year. Ford plans, of course, to invest $40 billion to $45 billion between now and 2025 on strategic expenditures, aka making sure that they are electric in all the right places. The new F-Series truck plant in Tennessee, the new battery plant in Kentucky, in Tennessee, for instance. And the battery plants taking the company's annual capacity in the US at least to over a million units. The story with this one really is Ford doubling yearly production volume for the upcoming F-150 Lightning. So that's huge news, all confirmed. You know, maybe you could say that their initial targets were a little bit low. Their initial capacity was a little bit low, but fantastic that they're doubling that first year production volume. But they're still, you know, with 180,000 or 150,000 pre-orders, you know, they're still stacked up for a good couple of years. They called it exceptional customer demand. Ford said it will record a gain on their investment in Rivian as well, because, of course, along with Amazon, a big investor in Rivian. If Rivian do go public with an IPO at the kind of values that are being talked about, that is a mega payday for their investors, and that includes Amazon, and that does include Ford. Hey, we've mentioned Rivian. Let's move on to this next story. A Korean battery equipment makers are celebrating after securing a series of contract wins to supply key equipment to Rivian. Rivian are going to start making their own batteries from 2023. Now, Korean battery equipment makers are expected to expand their position with anyone that wants to make their own cells. So they're using equipment bought from Korea, and the equipment makers have won orders for the Rivian plant equipment and major companies selected as the final suppliers. So that plan is moving ahead for Rivian, wanting to own more of that, or get more control over that vertical integration that works so well for the likes of Tesla and BYD. Now, Rivian aims to produce their own batteries from 2023. They want to use prismatic batteries in their vehicles. They are sort of the square-shaped cans characterized by great durability, according to etnews.com. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes. Let's talk about a great story. I love seeing stuff like this. And this is the front cover of Time magazine. And Time magazine chose who to put on the cover of this month's issue, and that would be a lady called Linda Zhang. She's the chief engineer of Ford F-150's Lightning project, took on the project 3 years ago, and some might say it was an impossible job. In just 3 years, rolling out a very reasonably priced, starting at $40,000, pure electric version of the most popular vehicle in the US, and try and remain, or you know, keep all of those F-150 loyalists on board, which I believe they really have done. Time.com says that her automotive roots go deep. Her father, a Chinese immigrant who brought her to the USA as a child, used to research transmissions for Ford. And she herself has made it her business to challenge all those expectations within a big company like Ford about how to, you know, generate power for electric vehicles and who designs electric vehicles within the company as well. So I've seen a lot of comment today, a lot of celebration today about, you know, the engineer of an electric vehicle being on the front cover, which is cool. That they chose a daughter of an immigrant, which is great. And also putting a woman on a front cover. And that inspires other women in the industry to think, hey, here's a lady who has led arguably the most important truck, at least by numbers, in the world, and taken it electric. Not only with no pushback and kickback, but with huge success and a real fanfare around it. Now, look, I'm not buried deep in American truck culture. I understand that. But I don't really see any pushback because they're not taking the diesels off for sale. So it just looks like an amazing thing that she's done. And especially for young girls as well. I don't know if many young girls looking at the front cover of Time magazine, but if mummy and daddy are buying Time magazine, like, who's that? Well, this is the lady that is in charge of the Ford F-150. And hey, that's a fantastic thing for, you know, young girls to move into those kind of fields and seeing a positive role model. Fantastic. Next, we'll talk about Hyundai is going to use some, well, they've licensed battery technology, which is, I'm really interested in this story. So like I say, I'm a huge fan of the IONIQ 5 and the cars coming out of Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, etc. They have just done a licensing deal with the massive Chinese battery maker CATL. Again, we talk a lot about them. Again, you know, because they've done that deal with providing the cells to Tesla, they get a lot of publicity out of that. So people kind of know more. People know who CATL they are these days. Hyundai done a licensing deal with CATL to use their battery cell to pack technology for prismatics, the little bricks, and to take them and put them together to make, rather than into modules, but straight into a battery pack. According to CNEV Post, Hyundai will be able to now use, having licensed the IP, the technology, cell to pack technology, and from CATL in their EGMP platform, so what their cars are going to be built on. And CATL saying that by removing the idea of making them, you know, cells to modules, modules to packs, but doing just cell-to-pack technology, will simplify, or it does already simplify, manufacturing by 10%, space by 5%, and increase gravimetric energy by 14% at a pack level. Brilliant. Huge news as well for Tesla fans. It's one of the things that Tesla does best, is just to keep moving things forward. And inventing and releasing stuff that when you hear it, you think, well, that's obvious, that's amazing, and I want that immediately. Tesla's Sentry Mode, the feature that uses the car's cameras as surveillance systems to catch, well, any ne'er-do-wells, has been upgraded. Now you can view a live stream of, I believe it's four cameras. Tesla fans, correct me if I'm wrong. But you can, on your mobile phone, it's only iOS, not Android at the moment, but on the iOS app, you can view a live stream of the four cameras and you enter Sentry Mode live camera access feature. Look out, Tesla fans, you want the update 2021.36.8. And that means that you can have a look at what's happening to your car. Definitely some security issues around this, I would say. Now, Tesla say that all video is encrypted end to end from them to you. They can't see it. And yet that's obviously not true, because if there's a crash or an accident, then authorities, federal bodies in the US, because the data is stored on US soil, can say, or in fact, I think any, like around the world as well, then regional authorities or crash investigators can often put a legal request into Tesla. I don't know if drivers, tell me, Tesla fans, can drivers write to Tesla and say, I had a crash, my insurance company needs it, please send me the data, and they'll send you a log of what was uploaded to the mothership. Plenty of people put those videos on YouTube, right? So it's like, oh, I got this from Tesla after the crash, and, you know. So them saying, it's all encrypted, end-to-end, they can't see the footage. I don't know how those two things come together, but please explain if I'm missing something, because Tesla do send people the footage from the car. But either way, they're saying, hey, we can't see it, trying to put people's minds at rest. And also Elon Musk adding on Twitter that you can talk through the car's external speaker as well, which I'm sure you could play some pranks on people that way. You've got to have premium connectivity, $10 a month after the free trial runs out to access this feature. And I'll pop a link to The Verge in the show notes if you want to read more. But just, like, this is what Tesla do. Like, the minute you know that it's there, and that actually I could, if I owned a Tesla, I could crack open my app and immediately look around it in for security reasons, you think, well, that's obvious. Why don't all cars do that? Like, my house does it. I have an app to get to the security cameras, my house and my garden. Of course my car should do it, but, you know, it's not until someone invents it that it kind of seems obvious. Right, one more story. And General Motors will finish us off today. And they say they can absolutely catch Tesla in the US by 2025. The CEO and chair, Mary Barra, telling CNBC yesterday, she said that an influx of new products, a new Hummer that's coming, the new Cadillac Lyriq, new Chevy crossover, will help GM beat Tesla on US soil. They want to release 30 EVs by 2025. She said this, I'm very comfortable because when people get into these vehicles, they are just wowed. So we will be rolling them out and we are going to just keep working until we have number one market share in EVs. Of course, like, we know roughly Tesla's ramp. They'll probably do 900,000 vehicles this year, but you should consult some Tesla experts on that. That's just my rough guess from where they are right now. They are still battling, as the auto industry is, with some supply chain issues. But it'll be more than 850. I think it'll be, like, you know, we'll talk at the end of the year, see how right or wrong I was. But I think it's about 900,000 vehicles globally this year. They're opening Texas, they're opening Berlin. Both of those factories will have a ramp. Cybertruck's a year away. So maybe, say, next year they could do 1.2 to 1.4 million vehicles next year. That's 2022. Well, that, you know, who knows where Tesla will be in 2025? I don't think GM have got a clear roadmap to beating Tesla today if Tesla just pulled down the shutters and stood still, which they're not going to do. We don't know. I can't say that definitively until we know more about GM's plans. For instance, they've not released any specifics, but I don't know. That doesn't, like, to say, hey, by 2025, we can be number one, we can beat Tesla. Well, we need to know more about what GM, you know, what, where, when, where, how, that kind of stuff. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Good luck to Mary Barra and her team there at GM. I find it hard sometimes to get past the fact that these were the people that did a big landmark deal with Trevor Milton and Nikola to a big fanfare. And then when everyone went, Are you crazy? Like, it's Nikola. Did you even just Google them? They went, yes, good point. Thank you very much for pointing that out. So we will like to announce a new revised deal with... yes, that would be Nikola. I mean... I can't get past that. So, you know, massive error of judgment when they say things like we're going to be number one by 2025. But good luck to them. We want to know the path of how they're going to get there. And if I can understand it, then maybe they've got a chance. Wait and see. Right. Question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. Oh, my goodness. That Nikola deal was horrific from the first time they mentioned it. I'd kind of wiped it from my mind. Oh, my goodness me. Ah, hydrogen. Ah. Moving on. Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. How many of you guys listening have changed your electricity tariff at home? Maybe after buying an electric vehicle, or maybe before? How many of you regularly change your electricity tariff, if that's even possible where you live? Let me know. I'll read out your answers on Sunday. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you very much to all of our Patreon family. Couldn't do it without you. Our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course, Jan at emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. Oh, that Nikola deal.